Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, New Year's Eve is one of those interesting events in which a sort of arbitrary moment is given somewhat arbitrarily great importance. The fact is, December 31st, 2011, will never be here again. Of course, neither will November 18th, or October 4th, or June 22nd. But there's something different and something special when we turn the new page on a calendar and it shows up as a new year. Our human fascination with time comes from a number of things, but I think among them surely has to be the fact that we are swept along in it. That there's nothing we can do to turn the clock back. Time, in one sense, is so intangible. One day can seem like it lasts for weeks, and another day can go by so quickly we look and say, well, when did that go? And yet, on the other hand, it's a physical reality that we can do nothing to reverse. Yes, there's much to say about time. We could reflect upon the fact that time itself is a creature. In the beginning, after all, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, if there was the beginning, there also was the beginning of time. Or we could reflect upon the fact that God is not subject to time and reflect upon all the things that means. But looking at our lesson for this evening, we reflect upon time as it is connected with change. Because along with the sense of time, and almost by definition, time involves some sort of change. Whether it's measured by the motion of the stars or the planets or the moon or the rotation of the earth or the vibration of a certain atom in a clock, nothing in this world remains constant. The hills that were, in many cases, are no more. The seas that are, once were not. Or at least not exactly where they are now. Especially, this is true. In fact, I don't think we can talk about change being any greater than in the area of human attitudes and emotions. If you look up on the web, the phrase, time changes everything. Well, you get, mainly it was a bunch of old songs, and they all had to do with changing emotions, especially the changing of love. And that's one of the reasons we need reassurance that certain things aren't going to change, particularly love. I've told some of you about the old gent that I had in one church who refused to tell his wife that he loved her, and when confronted with this, he said, well, I told her when I married her I was going to love her, and if anything changes, I'll let her know. And the fact is that we all need greater reassurance than that, don't we? Because we're so used to love changing. Many things affect our love for other people. Certainly time. But nothing changes love any more than just plain sin. the things we do and say and think that are wrong. Sin alienates. Sin separates. Sin poisons relationships. Sin kills. Sin separates friends from each other, spouses from each other, parents from children, and children from parents. And all the sins do. Lies, broken promises, betrayal of confidences, just plain thoughtlessness, anger, gossip, dissensions. Even the sins that aren't committed, but we imagine are committed against us. The Bible has to tell us, don't imagine evil in your heart against your neighbor. Because we have imagined hurts as well as real ones. All our sins separate. All our sins diminish love. All our sins alienate. And, of course, we've offended nobody so much as we've offended God. In hurting other people, even. Remember, we're always hurting somebody whom God loves. Even in dealing badly with ourselves, we're hurting somebody whom God loves. When we turn our love and affection away from Him to something that's a mere creature, well, we give away the love that we owe Him and end up really striking out against Him and justly deserving His anger, His wrath. And so if we look at the things we've done and left undone, we have to admit with Isaiah, our iniquities have separated us from our God. And our sins have hidden His face from us so that He will not hear us. That's the way it is because of sin. And that's the way it would be if it were not for Christ. For with Christ there is a reconciliation. And what does that word reconciliation mean? It means a restoration of love and friendship that has been broken. One of the things that we as Christians experience is reconciliation. One-to-one, when we go to our brother or sister and we say, I was in the wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And we can't help but do so because we know that the blood was shed on that cross for every last sin, and for us now to harbor a grudge really is to deny reality. For the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because of Christmas, because of Christ, there is reconciliation. Think of what it was that the angels sang after all. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I actually like that translation the best. It's an unconditional thing. God is bringing His goodwill toward men. He is the one who makes the move to establish peace, to atone for the sins of the world, to cast out our sins so that they can be forgotten, so that they can be cast as far as the east is from the west. God, who's holy and just, and must be holy and just, preserves his holiness and his justice because of Christ and his sacrifice, even as he announces to you the forgiveness of all of your sins for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ, he holds nothing against you. For the sake of Christ, he loves you. For the sake of Christ, he approves of you, and you are beloved of him. Without Christ, of course, it would not be so, but because of Christ it is. And here's the good part, one of many. Time doesn't change that. Time doesn't change God. His love toward you doesn't grow cool because over time he gets tired of you. His love toward you doesn't abate because over time he just can't keep love alive. His love for you doesn't diminish because it gets old to him. There are many, many things that time changes, but time does not change the love of God for you. And God isn't one who, like the old coot I was dealing with, says, well, I told him once I love him. If anything changes, I'll let him know. Instead, he presses his love upon us with the gospel. Through the gospel, he reassures us over and over again. He calls us together as we're together tonight so that we may hear of his love for us. When people fall away from God, this is an interesting thought, isn't it? They don't fall away from thinking there's a right and wrong. What they fall away from is grace. What they fall away from is caring about the love and mercy and forgiveness of God. Whether it be because they think for some reason they don't need it, or if they think in despair that it's not there for them. His grace is what is new to us every day. And because of that, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Paul asks. It's God who justifies. It's God who declares you innocent. Who's he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Lord, forgive them. The price of their sin has been paid. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, how often do people cite the things just like that? Something bad happened to me, so I don't believe in God anymore. It's a total non sequitur. Even when terrible things happen to you, that is not a sign that somehow God's love has diminished toward you. For I'm persuaded, Paul goes on, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of this because of Christ. Because Christ was delivered up for our sins. And because Christ was raised again for our justification. And all time changes almost everything. But not quite everything. Time doesn't change the love of God. As Isaiah said, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.